The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Lord, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, so that we may become instruments of your redeeming love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See that you shall come, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteousness their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, or your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 63 responsibly. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a barren and dry land where there is no water.
Therefore, I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory.
For your loving kindness is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise.
So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands to your name.
My soul is content as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips.
When I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in the night watches.
For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice.
My soul clings to you, your right hand holds me fast. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading, a reading from the first letter to St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think that you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I have found none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. I tried this story out on a few folks last night, and I got a smile, so I'm going to try it again. It doesn't have anything to do with the scripture, but I think it's a good story. God took a survey, and in the survey, God found out that about 90% of the people on earth were doing a pretty good job of trying to be good. But the other 10, they weren't even trying. And God, you know, said, I think we should reward or at least acknowledge the goodness of these people. So he decided to send an email to the good people. Do you know what the email said? No? You didn't get one, huh? You didn't get an email? Okay. Everybody's got excuses, Judith. Having no computer, that's a good excuse. During this last week, I learned a lot about fig trees, more than I will ever be able to put to any good use, I'm sure. It takes about 3 years for a sapling to grow enough to start producing fruit. And in the Jewish observant Jews will not use any of the fruit off of a fig tree for the first 3 years of production. The fruit is considered unclean for those after it starts to produce for 3 years. I'm not exactly sure why that is. It's the interpretation of some rabbinic law. I also learned that fig trees absorb a large amount of nourishment, and so the surrounding vines could be depleted of their needed nourishment. Figs grow relatively easy. They don't demand much care in terms of pruning and fertilizing and such. And they are, in many ways, self-sufficient if they're fertile. And not much can be done with a barren tree. I learned that a fig tree is a symbol of Israel's history and future, sort of like the symbol of the American eagle is for the United States. It's a tree of blessing, a tree of promise. There's a tradition that when a couple marries or when a child is born, a fig tree is planted in honor of that couple or the child to bless their future. And now you know as much as I do about fig trees. You probably know a lot more than I do. But that being said, a fig tree is not just a fig tree. You can often find a deeper meaning when we look closer at things. There are lessons to be learned at every turn if we but pay attention. Today's gospel passage begins with the report of two news items from the time. The people come and tell Jesus that Pilate has killed a number of Galileans. These people were most likely very peaceable folks who had gone to Jerusalem for religious reasons to offer a ritual sacrifice in the temple. And their own blood flowed in with the blood of their sacrificed animals when the brutal Pilate killed them right there in the temple in the midst of their ritual prayer. Jesus then tells a news item of his own. 18 people had died when a watchtower fell on them. One report of human brutality and one report of a natural disaster. We have our own stories today. 200 were killed by a terrorist bomb in a train station in Spain. Fires and earthquakes and mudslides took the lives of many innocent Californians in the last several months. In Jesus' day, when bad things happened to good people, it was thought that those people must not have been all that good. Disasters and tragedies were viewed as punishments for sin. It was a common assumption that punishment and sin were related. But Jesus denies this link and teaches that repentance is required by all the people. Terrible events around us are not merely consequences of somebody's being evil. Jesus uses the reports of these events and then tells a parable to call all of us to repentance, to call all of us to a more fruitful life. In the Gospel of Luke, more than any other book in the Bible, we read that Jesus talked a lot about repenting. In that book, we read that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. He tells the story of the lost sheep and ends that parable by saying, "I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who have no need of repentance." And then he adds that the angels in heaven will rejoice in over that one sinner who repents. The disciples are urged to forgive whenever somebody repents, even if that person sins against you 7 times a day, and ask for forgiveness time after time. Forgiveness always follows repentance. Forgiveness follows repentance every time. And Jesus' harshest words are directed toward those who are unrepentant. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power had been done in you, that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And he reminds the unrepentant people that even though they have someone greater than Jonah, he's speaking about himself, urging them to repent, they are more stubborn than the people of Nineveh, and they will be judged harshly because of their unrepentance. In his book called Preaching Luke's Gospel, Richard Jensen writes this about repentance. Repentance is not a fruit problem. It is a root problem. It is the root of who we are that is the problem in God's eyes. So repentance cannot be composed of I can statements, I have sinned, God, I am sorry, God, I can do better. Repentance, rather, must be composed of I can't statements. I have sinned, God, I am sorry, God. I tried and tried and tried, but I just don't produce good fruit. I can't seem to do better. I need your vine dresser to work on the roots of my life. Give me a new life, God. Give me your life. I can't. You can. The word to us today is that this call to repentance is urgent. There can be no waiting. Isaiah announces the invitation, come, come, don't waste your time and your money chasing after other things. Come, come now to the Lord. Do it now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And so Jesus tells this parable. The gardener and the owner of the vineyard are standing in the garden, the hoe in one hand and the axe in the other. The owner says, I'm not expecting too much. This tree must have had already 3, 5, 7 years. At least it should have been producing fruit. Probably for 3 years now. But where is the fruit? The tree is just standing there, doing nothing except taking up space. The owner is not being unreasonable in his expectations. The tree should have been producing, but it wasn't. Cut it down. Make room for something more productive. But the vine dresser intervenes. Come on, don't be so radical. Let me work with it a little bit longer. Maybe some extra TLC can help. Let me get some good manure from your sheep herders, and I'll use that, and I'll hoe around the roots and clear out any weeds. I'll use my master gardening skills, and I'll tend to this tree. Wait one more year and see what happens. If nothing changes in that year, if it's still unproductive, then you can use your axe. One more year. What would you do if you had one more year to live? One more year to prove yourself. One more year to make up for wrongs done and make up for opportunities missed. One more productive year. Wouldn't that be an important year? Maybe this is the lesson of the fig tree. Live each day as a gift from God. Don't just take up space. Toyohiko Kagwana, a 20th century Christian social reformer, Japanese, I assume, wrote this poem. It came up on my email, my thought for the day a while back. I read in a book that a man called Christ went about doing good. It is very disconcerting to me that I am so easily satisfied with just going about. The owner of the vineyard is not going to be satisfied with the tree just being. Either it starts producing or it comes down. The tree must bear fruit. It has to do what it was created to do. But good news, it doesn't do it alone. The vine dresser, the gardener, promises to care for it, promises to watch over it and to tend it. Good news, our repentance doesn't occur apart from the watchful eye, the tender care of God. Our good gardener is doing the digging and the probing. He feeds us on everlasting word, the living water of life. He feeds us on the bread of heaven. The font of baptism and the table of the Lord's Supper, we are offered for life. We are offered all of the nutrients and the care that we need in order to produce good fruit. The gardener has pleaded for us, is pleading for us, to have another chance. Mercy abounds, another chance, another year, another opportunity. We are not left alone. We are given this time, this now, to repent, to accept forgiveness, to produce good fruits. These are perfect scripture readings for the middle of Lent. Not 1 year, but a season, a whole season with an emphasis on reform, on a time of repentance. I'm hoping that this season has urged us all to tune ourselves so that we can hear that Master Gardener pleading for us. The extras in this season, like the Wednesday night fellowship and prayer, your own personal Lenten disciplines and devotions, maybe these extras are the added care and attention that we need in order to be productive. Maybe these extras are like the fertilizing and the hoeing of the gardener. Today is a gift from God, and we rejoice in the grace and the gift of each day with its opportunities to be repentant, with its opportunities to be faithful and fruitful. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for another day and another chance. Whether that one more year is only one day, or a year, or 10 years, we thank you. Open our ears and our hearts to your Son, the Master Gardener, who cares for us in love and mercy, who nourishes us with living water and heavenly bread. Thank you for Jesus, the Master Gardener, who shows us the way. With his guidance, we will not fail to produce good fruit. Amen.